Amen. You enjoyed good music tonight? Say amen. Amen. I tell you what, I don't know about you, but that was worth coming all the way over here tonight just to hear that good singing. My goodness. I've learned something about being in evangelism. Sometimes you go into some churches and the music program struggles. And that's a nice way of putting it, really, in some churches. But boy, I'll tell you what, tonight I have been blessed just to come over here. I appreciate that so much. I am honored and thrilled to be here at the Northside Baptist Church in the great metropolis, Pickens County. Amen. Isn't it wonderful? I tell you what's the truth. I grew up in a little country town of Westminster, okay? So I know what it's like growing up in the country and country churches and all. And I tell you what's the truth. I just feel so much at home here tonight. I want you to take your Bibles, if you would, and find the book of Matthew chapter 16. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 16. And while you're turning, let me just say thank you so much to your wonderful pastor. Brother Buckshot and I, as he said, have been friends for a long time. And I have such a great friendship with this dear brother. In fact, some of y'all may not know, and the connection that I already have here with you in this church. As I came in this evening, it's good to see Brother Charles Porter sitting here. Now, Brother Charles pastored the church down in Oakway, where my grandmother attended. That church was founded by my great-great-grandfather in 1905. And Brother Charles pastored there at the Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. And we were there this past week for a funeral in our family. And he was my grandmother's pastor and Aunt Joyce's pastor. And Brother Charles, good to see you. Boy, I tell you what, you've just made my day to know that you're up here. And that young fella just keeps right on going. Amen. I'm just glad to see him. And then I want to go ahead and reveal something to you that I could not reveal to the people in Pelzer, okay, where your pastor came from. Back at the time when you were talking to him about being your pastor, he gave me a call. And he asked me, he said, on a certain Sunday, I believe it was in November of last year, coming up on a year now, he called and asked, he said, can you preach for me on Sunday morning at Tabernacle? And I said, well, I'll be glad to. In fact, I'm available that Sunday. He said, but you can't tell anybody that you're coming. And I said, well, okay. You know, we're kind of new in this evangelism thing, and we're trying to feel our way through it after being a pastor for nearly 23 years, and I've been in the ministry 31 years now. And so we're just kind of learning this in our first year and a half or so now. And so I said, sure, but can I ask you why? And he said, well, I need to tell you something. And I didn't do that. He said, I'm going to preach a trial sermon up at a church in Pickens. And he said, I need you to come preach for me that Sunday morning, but don't tell anybody where I can go. Listen, you know how hard it was that Sunday morning? All these sweet folks at this church that we've known a long time and many years there in the town of Pelzer, I'm there that morning and everybody's going, what you doing here? And I said, well, Buckshot wanted me to preach. And where's Buckshot? I said, I don't know. And I wasn't telling an untrue because I had no idea where Northside Baptist Church was in Pickens. That kind of kept me, you know, legal there, you know. Had no idea where this church was located. So in honesty, I was telling the truth. I had no idea where he was. I did know what he was doing. And boy, I'm going to tell you what, that was tough. But I want you to know that you have made a wonderful God-given decision to bring the man of God that you have here in this place. As he mentioned, and he deserves that. Yes, give God the glory. And you've got a wonderful, and he's got a sweet wife, Sharon, here with him. And she stands by his side, and I thank God for their friendship through all these years, and I just love these folks. I'll never forget, he mentioned the revivals we used to do. We would do community revivals in our community with our church and his church and several other churches. Started with 1, 2, 3 churches, grew to about 6, 7, 8 churches sometimes. We'd come together for weeks of revival, and we'd take turns preaching and all the organization and all the things that took place. But it was a night at his church at Tabernacle. God began to really, he'd been dealing with me a long time. And it was on that night that we were there at that community revival in his sanctuary. As we gathered in that community revival that I knew, God wanted me to leave my church as a pastor nearly 17 years and step out and go into full-time evangelism. And I knew it that night. And I came to Brother Buckshot, Brother James Massey, and our other pastor friends that were there. And I gathered them around the altar, and I said, I need to tell y'all something that nobody else knows. And I said, but God's wanted me to leave my church as pastor and go into evangelism. And they got around me and prayed for me, and it was right there in that church where Buckshot pastored. And there's just been a closeness and an appreciation for through the years with the ministry here. And I want to say thank you for the honor that it is to be here with you tonight. And I'm looking forward to our time together. If you have found Matthew chapter 16, a very familiar passage, I hope it'll be a blessing and encouragement to all of us tonight. I invite you to stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God, if you can physically stand. We're going to begin in verse 13 of Matthew chapter 16. And when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I say also to thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your word. Thank you for the precious honor and privilege to be in this place tonight. Lord, my heart has been encouraged. Lord, I've just been thrilled to be here. Just the fellowship that I've enjoyed with these dear friends, some new friends, some friends that I've known for a long time. And now, Lord, to hear the good singing and the fellowship. And Lord, I just pray, I just believe with all my heart you want to do something in this place tonight. It's not an accident that on a Sunday night in October that you've got us here. And Lord, I just want to encourage Brother Buckshot and Sister Sharon. I want to encourage this church to be the shining light and be the lighthouse and be the soul-saving station in this community that this community needs. Lord, I just pray in the few moments we have here together, may you do something within us that will just bless us and encourage us. But I especially want you to convict and bring conviction upon that person that may be here tonight that's lost. If there's one that does not know you as Savior, truly know that they're born again, that tonight before this service is over, they'll walk this aisle and accept you as their Lord and Savior tonight. I pray for every deacon, every Sunday school teacher, every member, every visitor, Lord, that you'll just prick our hearts, Lord, and show us what we need to do to be right with you and to be a part of what you call the church and to see what you've given us in this place as we make up the body of Christ. Lord, I pray you bless it, use it for thine honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I just want to ask you a question. Whatever happened to the church? Whatever happened to the church? I grew up in a Baptist church all my life. I'm proud and thankful that I had parents who considered it an obligation and an opportunity, a privilege and a blessing to go to church. And from 9 months before I was even born, my mama was taking me to church. And I was there. And I mean, I got the Sunday school pens to prove. Remember those days we used to give Sunday school pens? And I spent about half of my childhood in Westminster. As I said, Dad got transferred to North Carolina with Duke Power. And we ended up in a little town called Denver, North Carolina on Lake Norman. And spent about half my childhood up there. And God began to work in my life, and I got to be in some good churches. I grew up with good preachers. I grew up in good singing. And I mean, you know, when you get a good dose of old-time religion, you just don't ever get over it. Amen? I mean, that's just the way it is. And I feel sorry for some folks who go to these places that try to call themselves a church, but they ain't nothing more than church than a bilow is. And I'm telling you. And, they trying to magnify and glorify and dignify everything else except God. But the Bible tells us, it's very clear in this passage, of what God's intention is for the church. Dr. Warren Wiersbe, great Bible teacher from the Back to the Bible broadcast, had privilege to hear him in person many times at our church and school at Tennessee Temple. He said, the greatest wonder this world has ever seen is the wonder called the church. And a lot of people say today, well, you know, all you church people, you know, it's not real popular to go to church. And culture is in and church is out. Well, there's a part of that's true.
Because the church, according to the word of God, has been called out. The church has been sent out. And bless God, one of these days, church is going to get taken out. Amen? So what is it that the Bible teaches us in this passage that we could look at here this evening that encourages us about what God wants you to do here at Northside Baptist Church? What is it about this passage of Scripture that we've heard and we've read and we've seen that could just encourage us just a little bit tonight? Notice number one, I want you to see the foundation of the church. Notice in verse 13, Jesus asks his disciples a question. He asks a question of public opinion. He wants to know, what are other people saying? What do they say? Who do they say I am? But you know, have you ever noticed that some things just never change? In verse 14, the disciples' response showed that public opinion had placed our Lord on the highest pedestal, humanly speaking, by identifying him with some of the great spiritual leaders of the past. But Jesus was not concerned about public opinion. In fact, he was more concerned about their personal conviction. And he says in verse 15, he wants to know, what do you think? Who do you say? And that's the question I believe Jesus is asking every one of us who claim to be members of the body of Christ, who claim to be members of a church somewhere. And by the way, just go ahead and say it, being a member of church is not going to get you to heaven. Amen. I mean, Jesus died on the cross not for you to find another way to get in. You could be a member of every church in Pickens County and still die and go to hell if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. So being a member of church doesn't get you in, you understand? And so Jesus asked them, who do you say I am? Here's the foundation of the church. Peter speaks up in verse 16. Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is the foundation of the building of what's called the church. Peter spoke up for the whole group. His personal conviction led to a public confession. He publicly, boldly and dogmatically proclaimed that the one standing there before them in that group that day was none other than the one and only Son of God. Jesus Christ is the foundation of the church. And go ahead and let it be known tonight. The church can get along without any particular family, whether they stay or not. And when a church gets to the point where they think they can't make it, because so-and-so who's been there a long time might get their feelings hurt, let me just go ahead and tell you, it ain't your church to start with. It's Jesus' church. You say, well, mom and daddy are buried out in the cemetery. And grandma and grandpa, they've been out there all these years. Well, listen, if that's the only thing keeping you here, dig them up and take them with you. Because, you know, the Bible tells us that it's Christ's church. You said, well, my family's been here all this time. Well, whoop-de-doo-doo. That's in the Greek there somewhere. It's found in the Greek there. But, you know, we get to the point sometimes where we allow our personal preferences and our traditions to overrule what Christ really wants to do in our lives in the church. And we got to understand that the foundation of the church is not built on one particular family or a movement or a group of people. It is built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a particular group of people historically who have taken this verse and turned it around and really messed it up. They have taken this in verse 17 of what Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, and taken what this point in verse 18 that he said, I will build my church. There's a particular group who's taken and said that Peter was the first founder. He was the founder of the church. And they've named him to be the founding pope of their group of the church. Now, there's a problem with that. Because according to their own requirements, a pope has to abide by very strict requirements. One of those is celibacy. Cannot have relations with a woman at all for their whole lifetime. They want to be a priest or a bishop or a cardinal or even a pope. They could not get married, much less have relations. So I got a problem with them thinking that Peter was the first pope. Because if you read back in Matthew chapter 8, we find in verses 14 and 15 that Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. Now, as one theologian put it, there's not a man in this world, not even Peter, who's dumb enough to have a mother-in-law without a wife to go with her. So even their own theology is messed up, trying to make the church to be founded on Peter. Listen, the church wasn't founded on Peter or James or John, Zacchaeus or Zebedee or Timothy or anybody else. It was founded on the Lord Jesus Christ as the one and only Son of God. And the church belongs to Him. It is He who we follow. It is He who is our authority. And Jesus put it very clearly in verse 18. He says, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church." Now we got to understand what He's saying there. He's saying that, Peter, you're a Petros. That's the Greek word for Peter, which means a small stone. It means a tiny boulder, little bitty thing. Anybody ever been to Arkansas? It means little rock. Okay? That's what Petros means, little rock. But the word that He uses here to identify the church is the word Petra, which means big rock, big boulder. It's a large thing. The church is built upon the Petra. That is the foundation of the church. It is the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. The foundation, the doctrine that Jesus is the living Son of God. I'm glad today to know that I belong to a group called the church. And that church is founded and based upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to be thankful it's not based on any of us. Because look how we mess up things. I mean, we really can mess it up. And I think through the centuries, we've tried to tweak Jesus' design for the church. And that's why we've got some of the things we got in a mess that people call church these days. But that's the foundation of the church. That's the first thing. Notice number two, we see the faith of the church. Notice in verse 17, when He makes this statement, Jesus replies that Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood did not reveal it to you, but My Father which is in heaven. This statement that Peter makes, that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, was a result of heavenly revelation, not human reasoning. The problem with some churches today is all they want to do is analyze and scrutinize and criticize what everybody else is doing. They want to look at what they do as the only way and the only right thing to do. But they miss out on the fact that God has made us all different. I don't know if you understand it or not up here in Pickens County, but over in Oconee County where I grew up, we knew people were different from the first grade. You know, it didn't take us long to figure that out. And you know, we understood that people have different ideas. People have different opinions. People have different ways of looking at things. And just because you like one thing and somebody else doesn't like that doesn't mean they're a bad person. Doesn't make you any better. I mean, bless God, I'm a fan of Chick-fil-A sweet tea. Hallelujah. I'll go out of my way to go through and get me a Chick-fil-A sweet tea. All right? Now, you understand that. Now, I got some friends of mine who don't like sweet tea. I pray for them. I really do. I ask God to work in their life, and they drink their Diet Coke, and that's okay. And I love them anyway, and we're going to go to heaven together. Amen? But that's all right. But understand this, that the faith of the church is not built on whether or not we're right and they're wrong. The faith of the church is found that Jesus is the answer for everything we ever need. I'm glad to know today that I don't have to depend on the Southern Baptist Convention to figure it out for me. I'm glad to know that I don't have to wait on some independent movement or some non-denominational group to come and tell me what I'm doing right and what I'm doing wrong. I just know that today I can trust in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we need to preach, teach, and reach the faith of the truth of the Word of God. And the best thing this town could ever get coming out of Northside Baptist Church is not some ear-tickling, soothing kind of quips every Sunday morning, but it's an old-fashioned preacher that gets up and preach the Word of God, tell it like it is, shuck the corn, peel the paint off the walls if necessary, and say, "Thus saith the Lord," and if you don't like it, just talk to the guy who wrote it. and get right with God. That's what we need. That's what we all need. And I'm glad to know that I belong to something that I can place my faith in, and not in a person or a movement, but I can place my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll never doubt that He'll ever fail me. Stories told back in the old days when the big church in town caught on fire. And it was back in the days where they had the fire brigades and carried the buckets and passed the buckets to put out the fires of anything that would take place in town. They happened to have a man that was in town that was known as the meanest man in town. Go to the barbershop, there's the meanest man. Go to the grocery store, there's the meanest man in town. They'd been trying to get the meanest man to come to church. Well, one day the church caught on fire. Alarm went out. People come from all over to help put out the fire at the church. They were passing the buckets. And it so happened that the mean man was one of the person in line passing the buckets, and he found himself standing next to the pastor of the church, passing the buckets. The pastor looked over at the mean man and says, "I've never seen you at our church before." And without even breaking a sweat, or without even breaking line, or without even going out of tune or out of rhythm with the buckets, he said, "Well, preacher, I ain't never seen your church on fire before either." Maybe if our churches get on fire for God, maybe we get more people to come. You know, I hear all the time, now that I'm in evangelism, I hear people all the time want to talk about this and that, and they want to run down somebody else, and they want to tell me all about and everything else, and I'm just not going to listen to that kind of stuff. And I tell them sometimes, I said, we wonder why we can't get people to come to church sometimes, because sometimes when we finally get them over here, we can't get along long enough to get by. Maybe we all just understand that we're here all by the grace of God. We're just sinners saved by grace. I'm no better than you are. You're no better than anybody else. And praise God that He loved all of us enough to send His own Son to die on the cross so we can have eternal life. And the faith of the church is the faith in the one who said, "I'm going to build my church." And that brings me to number three. Not only do we see the foundation, not only do we see the faith, but would you notice the formation of the church? Notice in verse 18, Jesus says, "I will build my church." Now, there's a whole lot of fellows coming through seminary and need to get that straight in their thinking and their mindset before they get out preaching. And the reason I can say that, because I've talked to some men, and we got some good men out here coming preaching and starting churches and doing the work of God. But there's some fellows, Brother Buckshot, I worry about, who I think are doing more harm than good, because they never got grounded in the Word of what they're supposed to be doing. They've sat and listened to everybody else's internet, you know, broadcasts. And they've read every book except the Bible about what they're supposed to do about preaching the Word. Now, Jesus said this, "I will build my church." You see, understand this, church. We do the preaching and the teaching and the reaching and the worshiping and the witnessing. We do the ministering. We get out there and love people, and we leave the church building to God. Let God build up the church. Don't get out here and think that we've got to be bigger than the guy down the street. What you need to understand about the guy down the street, he's going through some things you may not know about. He's struggling with some things you need to pray for. And if he's preaching the Word and he's reaching people and people getting saved, then bless God, you ought to shout and praise God with him. But don't think that you're in competition with the guy down the street. Listen, if they're preaching the book and the blood and the blessed hope, we're on the same team. And we need to understand it is Jesus who builds the church. And what He starts, He's going to finish. He's going to finish. Love is the mortar that holds all those little rocks together. You a brick person, you ought to know that, Buckshot. Can't believe you drank that bottle of water. That just shows an anointing, special hand of God on this guy. So if somebody like me had drank that water, I'd be in the hospital and not know why. You see, we need to understand this, folks, that the church is made up of people. The church is not a building. Buildings can burn down. Buildings can fall down. But the church will never go away. Never go away. That's why one time I heard of a patient who was filling out the form being admitted to the hospital. Why is it when you go check in the hospital and you're about dead and deathly sick and had accident, something's hanging off and you're bleeding from everywhere, they want to sit down and find out all this stuff about you and take, just fix me up. We can get all that later, right? I mean, you know, you sit in the hospital filling out forms longer than you do getting treated sometimes. But one, the story goes of a patient who was filling out his hospital admission form and came to the line that said church preference. Guy didn't know what to put. I mean, he didn't go to church. And I guess what they're trying to figure out, if they needed to send a chaplain by or one of the hospital chaplains by, which denomination or which type that they would prefer. I guess that's the meaning of the question. So he pondered that question a little bit. Church preference, what should I put? He turned in the sheet to the lady, and the nurse was going over everything. She said, I got a question about this one. And he said, which one? She said, down here where you put church preference. He said, what's the question? She said, well, I don't understand it. What is your church preference? He said, well, I wrote it down. Said, well, what is your church preference, sir? He said, red brick. Red brick. You see, it's a shame that many people worship the building more than they do the builder. Don't ever worship your building. Your building can be gone tomorrow. Ask our dear friends on the coast. Ask our dear friends who have experienced natural disasters of one kind or another. They don't have a building to meet in this morning, but they still had church, because the church is made up of people. Okay? Notice number four and last. We see the foundation of the church and the faith of the church and the formation of the church. Would you notice verse 18 also tells us the future of the church? Here it is, and I'll close with this. Notice that the phrase here says, when he says that I'm going to build my church, he says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Means that it shall not stand against it. Now, the imagery here is that what Jesus is saying to Peter and to those disciples that day is this. That no matter what happens in this world, the church is going to go on. That whatever's going on in our culture and in our society, the church is supposed to be on offense, not defense. We're to be storming the gates of hell with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and nothing, and not even the devil himself, is going to stop us. I'm glad to know I'm on the winning side tonight. Man, I told you I grew up in Westminster. We didn't have a lot of winning ball teams over there. And when I was a little kid, since I was in the third grade and I saw Hank Aaron hit that home run, I'd always been an Atlanta Braves fan. Boy, that was rough growing up. You just didn't have anybody. I mean, they didn't win. Our high school, people come to the football games, come to watch the band, not the football team. I mean, it's just the way it was. I don't like to be on losing teams. I like to be on a winning team. And I get more excited about being on the winning team of God's team called the church than I do of anybody else I can pull for. Now I know a bunch of folks got all excited today because the Carolina Panthers come back and beat the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, and boy, everybody's all excited, you know. And my son called me because his favorite race car driver won the NASCAR race this afternoon, as well as his Panthers winning the football game today, and he's just tickled to death. Connor's about to bust. He really is. He's about to have a spell. And he's just all excited. And I love sports, and I get into it just, but listen, I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus came up from the grave, after 3 days of being after he died on the cross, and he come up and rose again to secure our justification and to secure our home in heaven forever, that put us on the winning side. And I'm glad today to know that the church is to aggressively and to offensively attack the gates of hell by snatching out the victims from darkness into the glorious light. Too many times we've allowed the opposite to occur in our cultures and our communities. Our song should not be, "Hold the Fort." But our song should be "Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle we see his banner go." You see, the church has endured persecution from without. It's faced problems from within, but it is still on its feet and it's still going for the cause of Christ. There was a man that told a story one time that put out an ad in a local paper that he wanted to build a fence around his property. He talked to several fence builders and never could get anybody to understand what kind of fence he wanted built. You see, he had several special requests. He wanted this fence to be 4 feet high all the way around his property. He also wanted a guarantee from the builder that the fence would never fall down. Well, he talked to several builders. They all declined to build such a fence because they could not give him a guarantee that the fence would not fall down. Finally, one builder decided to take on the challenge. He studied it out. He thought about it. He drew it all out for a while, and then he went out and worked, and he went and built the fence. When he got through, he came to the owner of the property to tell him that the job was complete. He asked him, he said, "Sir, did you build that fence 4 foot high?" He said, "Yes, I did." He said, "Sir, can you guarantee me that the fence will not fall?" He says, "I cannot guarantee you that." He said, "No, wait a minute. That was part of the deal. That's part of the contract. Why is it that you built a fence that you can't guarantee like I asked for?" He said, "But you got to understand something. I did build this fence 4 feet high all the way around your property, just like you asked. But I also built this fence 5 feet thick so that if this fence ever did fall down, it was going to be taller than it was to start with." Let me tell you something tonight. Our Lord Jesus Christ is building his church. He's called us to get in on the problem of reaching this world for Christ, to share the love of Jesus, to help them through their problems, help them through their difficulties. He's given the priority that we're to reach the gospel, preach the gospel. And by the way, we should reach people no matter who they are, who they voted for, what color their skin are, who they pull for, or whether they drink Diet Coke or sweet tea. Amen. We're to reach them all with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the problem that we face in our churches is that we've gotten our eyes off the builder. We're more interested in making our buildings comfortable and making ourselves feel satisfied than we are with reaching the lost in our communities. What we need to do is get our eyes back on Jesus. What we need to do is look to the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." We need to look at the one who from the very beginning, we could say that I see my Lord in the book. Every chance I look, he's a theme in the Bible and he's the heart of the book. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the lily fair. Whenever I open the Bible, I see the word there. He is the book's beginning. He gave the earth its form. He's the ark of safety that bears the brunt of the storm. He's the burning bush in the desert. He's the budding of Aaron's rod. Whenever I open the Bible, I see the Son of God. He is the Lamb upon Mount Moriah. He's the ladder from earth to sky. He's the scarlet cord in the window. He's the serpent lifted high. He's the smitten rock of the desert. He's the shepherd's staff and crook. Whenever I open the Bible, I see my Lord in the book. He's the seed of the woman. He's the Savior, virgin born. He's the Son of David that men rejected with scorn. He's the Lord of eternal glory, whom John the Apostle saw. He's the light of the celestial city. He's the Lamb without spot or flaw. He's the bridegroom coming at midnight for his people when they look. Yes, whenever I open the Bible, I see my Lord in the book. Let me tell you what's happened to the church. We need to get back to looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega, because one of these days, he's coming back. He's going to call us all out. And whenever we're taken out of this place, all of the witnessing is going to be over. All of the ministry is going to be done. There'll be no more preaching. There'll be no more singing. There'll be no more music playing. There'll be no more time to reach people with the gospel. We need to get busy and stay at it. We need to encourage one another because the writer of Hebrews tells us that we need to encourage one another. In Hebrews 10:25, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much more as you see the day approaching. I don't know about you. It doesn't take a Rhodes Scholar to figure out this world's in a mess. But let me tell you what's the greatest message in this message. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. We as a church need to rally around each other, love each other, share the word of God with one another. And doesn't matter if we agree with everything or not, just say, bless God, we're going to look to Jesus. We're going to put him first and then let everything fall where it may. Let me ask you a question. What are you doing to help out your church tonight? What are you doing to be a part of the work of God? Are you more of a criticizer or are you more of a participator? Are you more of the ones that sits on the sidelines and gripes and complains about everything that the coach does in the ball game? Are you the one out there getting dirty and going after it and trying to do the job? Let me tell you something. Our time is short. Jesus is coming back. And we need to put aside all the things that divide us. We need to set aside the things that discourage us. And we need to look together to the one that said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Would you bow with me in prayer? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, in Jesus' name, what a joy it is to be in the presence of God. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God that I feel in this place tonight. Thank you for this wonderful church. Lord, there's no perfect church. We all have things we need to do better because the church is made up of imperfect people. But Lord, I'm glad today that you can use imperfect people. You use imperfect preachers. You use imperfect deacons. You use imperfect musicians, imperfect teachers, and imperfect church members. God, I know that you've got a great work in store in this place. You wouldn't have brought this man of God here if you didn't. You've got a great, great plan for this place. Lord, I just want to be one tonight just to encourage Northside Baptist Church just to keep looking to Jesus. Keep putting him first. Keep being the one that's going to be in this community loving and sharing and caring. Father, whatever we need to do to be right with you today, wherever area of our life we failed in being a part of this local congregation, I pray we get on this old-fashioned altar tonight and say, God, help me to do better. Help me to find my place where I need to be. Help me, Lord, to love souls and love you. And whatever we need to do to reach this community, we don't have much time to argue and bicker about it. We ain't got time to talk about it. We need to do it. So, Father, I pray that you'll bless this pastor and this church. Bless these family members, Lord, as they come together and serve you. Father, whatever we need to do in this invitation, if there's one here that needs to be saved, I invite them to come. We'll show them right from the Word of God how they can know Jesus. If there's anyone in this church that needs to just get on this altar and just pray, maybe you just want to come to your pastor and just say, Preacher, I love you, and I want to encourage you. I want to be there to help you in whatever way I can. Father, whatever you tell us to do tonight, let's just do it. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Would you stand, please? Brother Lockman, you come, lead us in our invitation. Pastor is at the front. You come as God leads you.